Task number one. Listen to the beginning of a TED Talk. Write down everything you hear. You are going to listen to the recording 4 times. Don't forget to transfer your answers to the answer sheets.
Good morning. How are you? It's been great, hasn't it? I've been blown away by the whole thing. In fact, I'm leaving. There have been 3 themes, haven't there, running through the conference, which are relevant to what I want to talk about. One is the extraordinary evidence of human creativity in all of the presentations that we've had and in all the people here. The variety of it and the range of it. The second is that it's put us in a place where we have no idea what's going to happen in terms of the future. No idea how this may play out. I have an interest in education. Actually, what I find is everybody has an interest in education. Don't you? I find this very interesting. If you're at a dinner party and you say you work in education, actually, you're not often at dinner parties, frankly. Good morning. How are you? It's been great, hasn't it? I've been blown away by the whole thing. In fact, I'm leaving. There have been 3 themes, haven't there, running through the conference, which are relevant to what I want to talk about. One is the extraordinary evidence of human creativity in all of the presentations that we've had and in all the people here. The variety of it and the range of it. The second is that it's put us in a place where we have no idea what's going to happen in terms of the future. No idea how this may play out. I have an interest in education. Actually, what I find is everybody has an interest in education. Don't you? I find this very interesting. If you're at a dinner party and you say you work in education, actually, you're not often at dinner parties, frankly. Good morning. How are you? It's been great, hasn't it? I've been blown away by the whole thing. In fact, I'm leaving. There have been 3 themes, haven't there, running through the conference, which are relevant to what I want to talk about. One is the extraordinary evidence of human creativity in all of the presentations that we've had and in all the people here. The variety of it and the range of it. The second is that it's put us in a place where we have no idea what's going to happen in terms of the future. No idea how this may play out. I have an interest in education. Actually, what I find is everybody has an interest in education. Don't you? I find this very interesting. If you're at a dinner party and you say you work in education, actually, you're not often at dinner parties, frankly. Good morning. How are you? It's been great, hasn't it? I've been blown away by the whole thing. In fact, I'm leaving. There have been 3 themes, haven't there, running through the conference, which are relevant to what I want to talk about. One is the extraordinary evidence of human creativity in all of the presentations that we've had and in all the people here. The variety of it and the range of it. The second is that it's put us in a place where we have no idea what's going to happen in terms of the future. No idea how this may play out. I have an interest in education. Actually, what I find is everybody has an interest in education. Don't you? I find this very interesting. If you're at a dinner party and you say you work in education, actually, you're not often at dinner parties, frankly.
Task 2. Listen to 14 answers given by Amber Heard, taking the stand in defamation trial alleged by Johnny Depp. Write the questions she was probably asked. You're going to listen to each piece twice. Number one.
Yes, it's Amber Laura Heard. Yes, it's Amber Laura Heard.
Number two.
I am 36. I just celebrated. I am 36. I just celebrated.
Number three.
I am an actor, mostly. I am an actor, mostly.
Number four.
I struggle to have the words. I struggle to find the words to describe how painful this is. This is horrible for me to sit here for weeks and relive everything. Hear people that I knew, some well, some not. My ex-husband, with whom I shared a life, speak about our lives in the way that they have. This has been this is the most painful and difficult thing I've ever gone through, for sure. I struggle to have the words. I struggle to find the words to describe how painful this is. This is horrible for me to sit here for weeks and relive everything. Hear people that I knew, some well, some not. My ex-husband, with whom I shared a life, speak about our lives in the way that they have. This has been this is the most painful and difficult thing I've ever gone through, for sure.
Number five.
I come from Austin, Texas, a small town outside of Austin that you probably haven't heard of. No one has. It's called Manor. And I was raised by my mother and my father. And I grew up with a little sister, although I have a big sister as well. I come from Austin, Texas, a small town outside of Austin that you probably haven't heard of. No one has. It's called Manor. And I was raised by my mother and my father. And I grew up with a little sister, although I have a big sister as well.
Number six.
You just got to stay on, basically. I would help him. I was more of a crash test dummy. You know, when you train a horse, it's a wild animal. It doesn't necessarily like to be ridden. And there are people out there who are crazy enough, like my dad, to pick that as a profession, I guess. And he was really good with horses. And I was the son he never had, so it was my job to, you know, stay on. you just got to stay on, basically. I would help him. I was more of a crash test dummy. You know, when you train a horse, it's a wild animal. It doesn't necessarily like to be ridden. And there are people out there who are crazy enough, like my dad, to pick that as a profession, I guess. And he was really good with horses, and I was the son he never had, so it was my job to, you know, stay on.
Number 7.
I worked any job that I could from the time I was really young. I wanted to get out of Texas and do something with my life and see things and do things. So I was in school and really pushed myself to... I just always pushed myself to be able to accelerate the process. I wanted to, you know, get out of school as fast as I could, and I wanted to do more things with my life than stay in Texas. I worked any job that I could from the time I was really young. I wanted to get out of Texas and do something with my life and see things and do things. So I was in school and really pushed myself to... I just always pushed myself to be able to accelerate the process. I wanted to, you know, get out of school as fast as I could, and I wanted to do more things with my life than stay in Texas.
Number 8.
I took any job that I could. I worked at my father's construction company, sometimes, you know, just administrative stuff. I mean, it was a small company. But I answered phones, and I worked at a modeling agency that was also, you know, offered photography classes, makeup classes, hair and makeup classes for people that were pursuing a career in entertainment. And I started taking classes that I paid for by working there effectively as a trade. And I eventually worked there long enough to be able to pay for my headshots, which are the pictures that you use in the industry to promote yourself, you know, in whatever, acting, modeling, or both. I took any job that I could. I worked at my father's construction company, sometimes, you know, just administrative stuff. I mean, it was a small company. But I answered phones, and I worked at a modeling agency that was also, you know, offered photography classes, makeup classes, hair and makeup classes for people that were pursuing a career in entertainment. And I started taking classes that I paid for by working there effectively as a trade. And I eventually worked there long enough to be able to pay for my headshots, which are the pictures that you use in the industry to promote yourself, you know, in whatever, acting, modeling, or both.
Number 9.
It started off as a requirement for the school I went to, and then I liked it so much, I think, because it meant I wasn't at home, and that was important to me, is just to not spend time at home. And I I really loved meeting people. So I worked at the soup kitchen every morning before school, during the school year, for about 4 years. I didn't go on weekends, but on weekends I would do various things. Worked at children's, children's museums, typically, because they would work with younger volunteers, and mostly soup kitchens and things involving children. I worked at the with deaf kids for a while, and I love it. It started off as a requirement for the school I went to, and then I liked it so much, I think, because it meant I wasn't at home, and that was important to me, is just to not spend time at home. And I really loved meeting people, so I worked at the soup kitchen every morning before school, during the school year, for about 4 years. I didn't go on weekends, but on weekends I would do various things. Worked at children's, museums, typically, because they would work with younger volunteers, and mostly soup kitchens and things involving children. I worked at the with deaf kids for a while, and I love it.
Number 10.
I did a small job in Texas where I played a part in a movie, and the actor in the movie that I was playing opposite had an agent visiting him from LA, and I met her on set, and she said that she had heard about me from another bit part I did. You know, I was taking jobs in Austin for really anything, to be an extra, to apply I did makeup once. No job was too small or, you know, for me. So I put myself out there, and she had heard about me, and she said, I have heard about you in this town, and I'd love to meet you in LA if you're ever out in LA. And I was like, when can I come? And she made an appointment with me for the following week, and I used all but $180 or something to get out there. And I landed. I didn't know anyone. I was 17. And I've effectively ever been there ever since, I suppose. I did a small job in Texas where I played a part in a movie, and the actor in the movie that I was playing opposite had an agent visiting him from LA, and I met her on set, and she said that she had heard about me from another bit part I did. You know, I was taking jobs in Austin for really anything, to be an extra, to apply I did makeup once. No job was too small or, you know, for me. So I put myself out there, and she had heard about me, and she said, I have heard about you in this town, and I'd love to meet you in LA if you're ever out in LA. And I was like, when can I come? And she made an appointment with me for the following week, and I used all but $180 or something to get out there. And I landed. I didn't know anyone. I was 17. And I've effectively ever been there ever since, I suppose.
Number 11.
I went to every audition, every casting, every meeting, every appointment that I could. I put myself out there. I didn't have a car because those were expensive. So I took the bus around LA. It was before smartphones. I had a Thomas guide in my bag and a change of tank tops. Not that it mattered, but I went to about 10 auditions sometimes a day and would change clothes if I needed to in the back of, you know, the bus I was taking. And I just hustled from one audition to the other. And I got a bit part on one thing, and then I got a bit part on another thing. And then eventually my roles kind of became more important or bigger. And it's been a slow progression, I guess, since then, you know, of doing either tiny bit parts in bigger movies or doing, you know, larger roles in movies that no one would see. And I guess, you know, it still is kind of like that. I went to every audition, every casting, every meeting, every appointment that I could. I put myself out there. I didn't have a car because those were expensive. So I took the bus around LA. It was before smartphones. I had a Thomas guide in my bag and a change of tank tops. Not that it mattered, but I went to about 10 auditions sometimes a day and would change clothes if I needed to in the back of, you know, the bus I was taking. And I just hustled from one audition to the other. And I got a bit part on one thing, and then I got a bit part on another thing. And then eventually my roles kind of became more important or bigger. And it's been a slow progression, I guess, since then, you know, of doing either tiny bit parts in bigger movies or doing, you know, larger roles in movies that no one would see. And I guess, you know, it still is kind of like that.
Number 12.
We talked about books and music, poetry. We liked a lot of the same stuff, you know, obscure writers and, you know, interesting books and pieces of poetry that I haven't heard anybody else reference or know or like. And he was very well read and charismatic. And, you know, I think I left the office with a few books that he gave me, and we spent the whole time just talking about things that we care about. And I was so surprised that somebody, you know, I knew who he was. I wasn't familiar, you know, I wasn't a fan of his work. I wasn't familiar with him, but I knew who he was. You know, he's one of the most famous people in the world. So it was already a weird thing to go and get called into his office. And, you know, I'm a no-name actor. I was 22, I think. And I thought it was unusual. It was weird because he was twice my age, and he's this world famous actor, and here we are getting along about obscure books and weird, you know, old blues. And I thought it was remarkable. You know, I thought it was unusual and remarkable. I left there just feeling like, wow. We talked about books and music, poetry. We liked a lot of the same stuff, you know, obscure writers and, you know, interesting books and pieces of poetry that I haven't heard anybody else reference or know or like. And he was very well read and charismatic. And you know, I think I left the office with a few books that he gave me, and we spent the whole time just talking about things that we care about. And I was so surprised that somebody, you know, I knew who he was. I wasn't familiar, you know, I wasn't a fan of his work. I wasn't familiar with him, but I knew who he was. You know, he's one of the most famous people in the world. So it was already a weird thing to go and get called into his office. And, you know, I'm a no-name actor. I was 22, I think. And I thought it was unusual. It was weird because he was twice my age and he's this world famous actor. And here we are getting along about obscure books and weird, you know, old blues. And I thought it was remarkable. You know, I thought it was unusual and remarkable. I left there just feeling like, wow.
Number 13.
Will you take a movie once it's completed, and if it doesn't have distribution, you, as part of the promotion of that movie, you go to these various places, normally cities, like London or New York, and you do press events in those cities to kind of promote the film, and you go to place talking about the film. Will you take a movie once it's completed, and if it doesn't have distribution, you, as part of the promotion of that movie, you go to these various places, normally cities, like London or New York, and you do press events in those cities to kind of promote the film, and you go to place talking about the film.
Number 14.
I don't know exactly how long it lasted. I think, you know, there were press engagements in this city for a few days and then another city for a few days. And then there was a break and then there was another press opportunity, I believe. So it was kind of spread out over maybe a month, if I'm guessing. I don't know exactly how long it lasted. I think, you know, there were press engagements in this city for a few days and then another city for a few days. And then there was a break and then there was another press opportunity, I believe. So it was kind of spread out over maybe a month, if I'm guessing.